And good afternoon. The time is 3:06. Wet, dreary day in central Wisconsin. Some light rain falling. Some fog out there, a little bit of mist. Temperature stands at 40 degrees. I am Chad Holmes, and it is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in just a few minutes at 3:15, we'll be joined by Yi Leng Zhang. He is the executive director of the Hmong American Center, also a member of the D.C. Everest School Board and the Marathon County Board of Supervisors. So we'll be talking to Yi coming up here in just a few minutes. Usually during this time frame, we get a chance to talk to one of our weatherology meteorologists, but unfortunately, I've not been able to connect with Ray Miller or Laura Lockwood or any of the good folks over at WeatherEye. They are obviously staying very busy with some winter-like weather, especially in the west and northern part of Wisconsin that's moving in tonight and tomorrow. It's going to get much cooler around here in central Wisconsin, but we're fortunate, as wet as it's been today. If it had been snowing all day, we would have had a significant amount of snowfall, but we're fortunate it's just light rain so far here today. Looking at the forecast for the rest of this afternoon, continued showers, areas of fog. The high temperature will be the current 40 degrees. Southeast winds around 8 miles per hour, gusting as high as 21 miles per hour. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tonight, rain and snow showers likely before 1 a.m., then a chance of flurries between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. There are some areas of fog as well early before 9 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and a low of 19. West-northwest wind 7 to 12 miles per hour, increasing to 13 to 18 miles per hour after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 32 miles per hour. New snow accumulation of less than half an inch possible. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, turning much colder, a high near 22. It will be breezy, so that means those wind chills are going to be very, very low as well. West winds 18 to 24 miles per hour, gusting as high as 38 miles per hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 9 degrees. West-northwest wind 16 to 21 miles per hour, but then decreasing to 5 to 10 miles per hour after midnight. Winds early, however, could gust as high as 36 miles per hour. And then the end of the work week, Thursday, mostly sunny and a high near 29. And then on Friday, partly sunny skies and a high near 41. The sunny skies will continue into the weekend. Mostly sunny on Saturday, high near 25. And Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 32 degrees. Right now in Wausau at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Again, light rain, some fog, some mist, temperature of 40 degrees. The winds are out of the east at 7 miles per hour, so the wind chill factor is 35. The dew point is 38 degrees, relative humidity of 93%. The barometer at 29.35 inches, and the visibility very low, 1 mile. And again, I mentioned this at the top of the show. Early this morning, there was a significant accident on Interstate 39 south of Wausau. That portion of road was closed for more than 5 hours early this morning after a vehicle struck a semi in a fiery crash. According to preliminary emergency scanner reports, the crash was reported at about 1:23 a.m. in the southbound lanes of I-39 just north of Highway 153. Initial reports called crews to report of a vehicle fire at the scene. There has been no report on injuries or what led to the crash. Again, though, when you have low visibility, when you have wet conditions, when coming up very, very soon, you're going to have some icy conditions and some snow out there, take the extra time. Just because the speed limit is 65 or 70 or 75 or whatever it may be doesn't necessarily mean that I should hit the pedal down, go that speed, or go the normal speed, 5 to 7 miles per hour over the speed limit during normal driving conditions. As we get into winter, again, I just can't say this enough. Underline it 3 times, exclamation marks. Take your time, be safe, because we want to keep the accidents and the fatalities down for this winter of 2022, early 2023. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then come back. Again, we are going to have a chance to talk about a number of different issues with Yi Lengzhong. Again, a member of the Marathon County Board, the D.C. Everett School Board, and the executive director of the Hmong American Center. That's coming up as we continue on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the Chad Holmes Show. The time is 3:12 here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. On Tuesday night, it's the Wisconsin Valley Conference opener for the Wausau West hockey team. The Warriors will play host to Wisconsin Rapids. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:40, and the opening face-off is set for 7. Wausau West hockey is brought to you by the Cloverbell Credit Union, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Wausau West Athletic Department, the Wausau West Senior Class Parents, the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club, and Sun Printing. It's Wausau West Warrior High School Hockey taking on Wisconsin Rapids in the Wisconsin Valley Conference opener. Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening face-off at 7 p.m. On your home for Wausau West Sports, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, dark out there. It gets dark early, but today it's been dark all day. Overcast skies, some light precipitation, temperature around 40, but it's going to get a lot cooler. And we'll talk again about the weather later on. But very happy to welcome into studio Yi Lengzhong. Again, I was telling you off the air, Yi, that, of course, you know Nick Ockwig, and I know Nick very well as well. And I'd have him on. He'd say, got to get Yi on the air. Got to get Yi on the air. And I'm sure Nick is very happy. I'm very happy. And thank you for coming over and spending a few minutes.
I'm glad to be able to be here, Chad. It's definitely a pleasure, and I'm pleased to be able to be here with you today.
I tell you, you are a guy that wears a lot of hats. And I said that to Nick at times. Say, you wear a lot of hats, but Yi, you wear a lot of hats. Could you maybe let the folks out there know, what's taking up your time these days? What are the things that you're involved in that you're so active here in Central Wisconsin?
Sure. I serve in a variety of capacities or roles, obviously. Part of my elected roles, I'm on the D.C. Everett School Board as the Board Vice President. I'm the Marathon County Board on several committees. I'm also on the Governor's Financial Literacy Council and the State Council on Affirmative Affairs, Affirmative Action. And I'm also on the, and what I do for my day job is I work as the Executive Director of the Hmong American Center, where I also serve on our coalition organization as the Board President as well. So I keep myself busy.
Let's talk about the Hmong American Center, because I think it's such an important piece here in Central Wisconsin. And I'm going to kind of broaden out our discussion here in a few minutes, but I want to kind of focus there. Could you talk about what the Hmong American Center is, what you do within it, and what it means to the Hmong community here in Central Wisconsin?
Sure. So the Hmong American Center was originally established in 1983 to obviously help the Southeast Asian community assimilate to the larger community. Now, we don't use that word anymore because we also realize that when you're with assimilation, you start to lose a lot of your cultural identity, your cultural behavior, your who you are in general, and we see that in the Hmong community today. We see that there's a lot of mental health issues that the Southeast Asian community experience. We see a lot of cultural identity issues, because who they are and what they feel is different from what what they're seeing out there from their fellow peers. So that's one thing that the Hmong American Center does, is that we work very hard to ensure that our community, the Southeast Asian community, the Hmong community, are able to be self-sustainable, contributing members of the community, but also be able to retain their cultural identity, retain their heritage, their culture, the language, etc. Because this not only helps our elders, but also helps our future generations as well. Mm-hmm. As the executive director at the Hmong American Center, we do, one of the things I am tasked with is obviously ensuring that I provide the vision and the mission for the organization and basically steer it in a way that we want to see it grow. And the organization has done a phenomenal job growing from when I became the executive director, because when I became the executive director in 2016, we actually were on the verge of closing because our organization struggled with trying to find their role, trying to find their place. And one thing I found very important is that from this whole pandemic that we've experienced is how important the Hmong American Center Center is to our community. It was crucial in ensuring that the Southeast Asian community was vaccinated, and because of our efforts, the Southeast Asian community continued to be the highest vaccinated group in the central Wisconsin area. And what I also realized was across the state of Wisconsin here, every single city and every single town that had had a Hmong association there, the Hmong community continued to be the highest vaccinated group in those areas as well too. So we do a lot of trusted messenger outreaches. We do a lot of direct client services, job placements, you know, helping them start up their businesses, youth educational support programs, elderly service such as our cultural dining site that we work with ADRC on, and so much more.
How big is the Hmong community right now in the Wausau area, Marathon County? How many folks do you deal with?
Yeah, so in the Marathon County area here, according to the 2020 census, there's about 8,500 Asian American. We do know that the vast majority of those are Hmong individuals, so we estimate it to be anywhere from 7,500 to 8,000 individuals.
How many of those take advantage of the services you have at the Hmong American Center?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. I'm not exactly sure, but I can definitely say that from January 1st to July 31st, we served a total of 492 families. So that's families, not individuals. Right. So it's definitely a huge population that we work with.
You mentioned the word assimilation and maybe not being the right word, but at the same time, being involved in government, being involved in public service within a community is important. I would imagine there are steps, as you said, the Hmong community has grown over the years, and one of those steps is being represented on the school board at DC Evers, being represented on the Marathon County board. How important is that to have for the families here in Marathon County to have somebody with their background representing them on these boards?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Chad. And, you know, I have to say that by having an individual that can relate to their experience, to their challenges, can see their obstacles, it helps us dismantle and provide equal access to everybody so that way people can have equal access to services and programs that they need. And having individuals that are of Southeast Asian descent or of a diverse background, they're able to be able to serve on those boards and provide that unique perspective, that cultural perspective or perception that helps ensure that our programs and our services, our community, our government, our organizations as well, meet the needs that the Southeast Asian community or other individuals of diverse backgrounds, you know, because they have their needs is unique and different than, and it's not a cookie cutter service. Mm-hmm. You have to tailor your services and messaging in order to fit our communities of different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking to Yi Leng Zhang from the Hmong American Center, the DC Evers School Board, the Marathon County Board of Supervisors here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, let's put on one of your other hats, because I was saying off the air, you know, I talked to John Robinson, one of the other board members, a couple of weeks back, right after the budget process went through a very busy week. And you said, yeah, like, it was probably a very long week. Before we talk about specifics that maybe I kind of noticed in terms of the budget process and what ultimately was passed, what jumped out for you? What were the aspects, whether it could be issues, whether it could be the process, what jumped out during this obviously very, maybe at times, difficult process on the board?
Yeah, so what jumped out at me specifically was the fact that everybody, what I realized was that everybody was trying to do what they can and what they thought would be right for the community. That's the part that got me the most here as well, too, because of the fact that everyone has their own different perspective on how to address issues in our community here, what was important to them. But one thing I found very unique, though, was that at the end of the day, everybody compromised. The vast majority of the decisions that did go through did end up being compromised. There was a compromise that came into place. Did I agree with all of them? Probably not, but I also was willing to have those discussions and compromise on several issues, because it comes down to, in the end here, we need to do what's best for our community, mm-hmm. for our home, and are doing what we can to serve the future generations and protecting the most vulnerable.
One of the things in talking to John as well and other people that serve in on public boards, whether it's city councils or Marathon County Board or school boards, is the amount of information you have to go through. And when you have a job like the executive director of the Hmong American Center, when you have being part of the school board, how do you do it? How do you go about trying to be as educated as you can? And as you said, it's not just the issues that maybe you are focused on or the folks that come into the Hmong American Center and say, hey, this is something I want you to look at. You have to look at it all as part of one big pie, you know, and be able to figure out, hey, maybe this is an area that I can support a budget aspect, or this is an area that I can't. How do you do it? What is your... I get a chance to talk to high school kids at times who play sports. I say, how do you put together your time in order to be on a basketball team and then also do your schoolwork and have a social life for you when you have all these hats that you wear? How do you do it?
Yeah, so for me specifically, I like to think of myself as pretty good at scheduling things out. One of my staff was finally able to subscribe to my calendar, and he had a heart attack because he realized that I had everything color-coded, or I had time set aside for my work with the county, for my time with the school board, or with my time with WACMA, which is the coalition organization. I even have time scheduled for myself as well, too. And I'm very picky about people intruding on those times because I want to make sure that I have the certain time for it. So in regards to being knowledgeable of everything, that's definitely impossible. But one of the things I like to do is try to be knowledgeable as much as I can of everything, whether it's having discussions with individuals on both sides of the aisle, but most importantly, reading through the materials that's provided. I oftentimes like to also go back and review some of the questions and the discussions that had been talked about at the at previous meetings. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to the point where I would do my executive director job where I'm typing up or doing some reading, but listening to the meetings in the background as well too. And that's one thing that I found very enjoyable, the fact that a lot of our meetings now are recorded, especially the committee meetings. Mm-hmm. So then I'm able to go back and reflect on those and actually read and listen to those as well too, along with the minutes as well too. So I oftentimes find myself going back and re-watching a lot of the videos and meetings just so that I stay informed of what's being discussed.
And that's actually very interesting, that just having that seep into your consciousness, yes, that even, you know, when you're doing something else and still be able to listen to it, and then when you do have a chance maybe to grab a piece of paper on a note that you've taken, it's still there, and it's very, very interesting, again, and it has to be very important in terms of your scheduling. Real quickly, we got to take a break in a couple of minutes, but you said something during that about dealing with folks from different sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to other folks who have worked within organizations that focus on different segments of our community, and they talk about that, how important that is, that you have to talk to somebody that may be a liberal Democrat or somebody that's or a conservative Republican and everywhere in between when you're trying to talk about issues that are important within your job as the executive director or for people in your community. I imagine that the political aspect is very important, and being able to listen and to be able to not be as so rigid that you can't get anything accomplished.
Very, very true, Avichad. One thing I think our community, specifically in this day and age, is that we always label individuals as left wing, right wing, but we tend to forget that we're both, we're just different wings of a bird, you know, that we're different sides of the same coin. And just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean that they're the enemy of the, of the country here. Because in reality here, we're trying to work and do everything we can here to for the best of interest of our community here. And for me specifically, obviously, some people describe me as annoyingly moderate sometimes.
I've heard that, and I
enjoy that, because although I am moderate, I tend to lean left. But one of the reasons why I do that is obviously because I want to be I also try to be as open-minded as possible when I'm working with individuals. And and despite the fact that I may disagree with them, I still enjoy having that discussion with them, so that it broadens my the ideology. I mean, even with the Community for All that the Hmong that went through my committee as the Diversity Affairs Commission, I still took the time to sit down with those individuals that were not supportive of the resolution and had those discussions with them, just so that we had a better understanding, of where we stand, and and just to get to know. Because just because you're a Republican or a Democrat, I'm not gonna judge you any different, as long as we can have a civil discussion together.
We gotta take a quick break. We're gonna come back and talk more. And actually, when you bring up the Community for All, I'm actually curious to get a little background on what you did here, because something that seemed so innocuous turned into something that turned into a rather difficult, some difficult moments. But we're going to talk about that, talk about a couple of the other issues on the county board as I kind of delved off in different areas. And we'll talk a little school board as well. Again, Yiling Zhang, Hmong American Center Executive Director. We'll have more coming up. We have a news update, and then we'll be right back. The time is 3:28. I'm Chad Holmes, and it is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Threes across the board, Tuesday afternoon, almost to December. Hard to believe as we are heading towards the final month of 2022. Some light rain, fog, mist in Wausau. 40 degrees is the temperature. We'll again take a look at the forecast and more a little bit later on, but really glad again to have joining us here for another segment, Yiling Zhang, the Executive Director of the Hmong American Center, member of the Marathon County Board of Supervisors, DC Everest School Board. And actually, I was not going to even bring this up, but you mentioned the fact that you were on the committee that was talking about Community for All. Because I mentioned that earlier as well during the discussion on the library and all this stuff. And I wonder, why does that get some people so very angry? And because it seems so very much common sense. I mean, you want a community that welcomes everybody and uses their talent to make it a better place to live. Were you surprised after the committee did its work and then where it ended up?
Yeah, so for me specifically, I was surprised, because the resolution that was created was based off of a resolution of peace, resolution of welcoming. It was based off the life report that many of our community so much believed in. It was a coalition of organizations in the community that put together that life report and came up with the results. And the resolution was in an effort to address those concerns, and it started off by just welcoming individuals, restating our mission statement that we're going to try and focus on welcoming individuals and making sure that our programs and our services are allows individuals to have equal access to our services. So I was surprised when we saw the amount of oppositions or pushback, but then I also remembered as well too that it was most likely because of the national arguments and discussions that were happening that kind of turned this into a discussion that wasn't really meant, that wasn't really the intention of our community. Our commission. The intention of the commission, as I said here, was at that time was to try and ensure that our community was a welcoming community. And that to me was kind of interesting because during the discussion that I had with every individual individually, they agreed with me that we wanted a community that was welcoming for everyone. But then during the discussions on a platform at the county board level, it was a different discussion as well too because of the national discussions that ended up coming into there. And I think that's what ended up causing there to be some sort of a misunderstanding, some misconception as well too. So, it's definitely something that was surprising to me.
And it's interesting at this time, and I think you probably know more than I do, but just from the outside, when you see businesses that are not able to have workers, to have businesses that are closed one day a week because they can't have enough people to work on that day of the week, it feels like this is more than any time in my life, and I'm almost 52 years old now, that there is a need for immigration. There is a need for folks to come into this community, into the state, into this country. Obviously, you deal with that issue probably on a regular basis. It does feel like at some point the politicians have to get together because there's a lot of holes that need to be filled, isn't there?
Yes, you hit it right on the spot. With the worker shortage that exists in our community here, even with the Department of Workforce Development, where they expressed that that the one of the answers is to ensure that immigration is a great way of trying to be able to solve this issue on a macro level, not a micro level here, and in order for us to do that, to be the ideal location for individuals to want to move to, we have to label ourselves as that and market ourselves as that welcoming community. community. The Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce and also the Greater Wausau Prosperity Partnership conducted a study known as the Economic Development Strategic Plan for the Central Wisconsin area. And one of it was to leverage the Hmong community, especially the linkage from Wausau to the Twin Cities, and really market this local area as a Hmong American friendly location. But if we were to take that a step further, it is to market this area as the ideal location, a friendly location for immigrants, for individuals, for people of color as well, to be able to come to this location, this area.
When you talk to politicians that may not ultimately agree with what seems to be common sense, what do you hear? I'm always curious about that, because you, as a leader of an organization like the Hmong American Center, you talk to folks who vote on things. What are the things you hear? Why won't they see this? Because, again, when you want to go somewhere and shop or eat and they're closed because they don't have workers, that affects their lives too. What do you hear?
Yeah, so some of the main concerns that I hear is that these type of resolutions such as the Community for All are fluffy do-nothing resolutions,
Virtue signaling.
Exactly. But I also said that I know that it's a statement, if a statement wasn't very important, then you wouldn't see other entities or organizations releasing those type of statements, because it's a promise statement, it's a mission statement, it's them releasing what the organization thinks. I know that there was concerns about the word equity as well too in there as well, and I find it also concerning that as well too, that when we were looking at the resolution, we were using the words from the dictionary, but individuals were saying that that's not what the word means. So, it seems that there's a misconception about the word equity. There's a misconception about having these discussions, these educational discussions. So it's definitely something that was strange. That's something I was not used to. But nonetheless, I felt that it was still a good thing to have those discussions mm-hmm. with individuals that don't believe it or don't support it, because at the very least, we're having that discussion so they understand where I'm coming from, and so I understand where they're coming from as well.
Again, we're talking to Yi Leng Zhang here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's go back to the Marathon County budget, because I kind of go around in circles, as you can tell. What were the most important issues that you ultimately said, yeah, we were able to get it right, and that it's going to be important for Marathon County because of what we were able to prioritize in this budget?
Sure. So for me specifically, I thought the fact that there were cuts that were made, I felt that it was the fact that these cuts were not as drastic as there should have been. I was proud of the fact that for the discussion about funding towards the library, it was only cut $69,000. I mean, I voted against cutting it at all, because I truly felt that our library is a crucial asset to our community here. I know that several of the supervisors brought up discussions or concerns about the book selection process, but to me personally, I didn't think that should have been an argument for discontinuing funding or cutting funding from the library. But nonetheless, I also thought that it was their right to voice their opinion and to express their thoughts and the concerns. But I was also very proud of my fellow colleagues for being willing to negotiate or having those discussions and compromising at $69,000 rather than these original suggestion of cutting it another $369,000 as well, on top of the $350,000 that the administrator had already cut, and the 2% cut as well on top of that as well. So that was one of the ones that I thought was done. I was proud that there was discussions on and there was a compromise. I was also very proud of the fact that we had discussions about the debt that North Central Healthcare had as well too. I also understood the long-term consequences that we could potentially have by servicing that debt through our reserves. I also knew why it was done as well too, because we wanted to ensure that our taxes did not increase so high for our residents and our community in the local area here.
Concerning the library issue, and I guess this is maybe more of a broader question than the hat that you wear on the board or even a hat that you wear on a school board, What's your take on these issues that are popping up on a more regular basis, not just around here, but around the country? The idea of folks that find something with a certain book trying to get it removed. It just feels like something that's happening more and more, and it's something that's going to lead to more difficult questions. What's your overall take on that?
Yeah, I appreciate the question here. And my personal opinion is that, you know, the library is meant to be an area where people are supposed to learn, you know. So it would be surprising not to find anything not offensive or you disagree with, you know. I think, you know, myself as well, too, you know, I mean, I definitely think that having a library that has information is a go-to resource for you to be able to look at, to be able to educate yourself is a very crucial asset to our community.
Let me ask you about DC Everest School Board. I've been spending quite a bit of time talking about the issues in the Wausau School District, and I imagine it's a little calmer over at the DC Everest District. It seems as though Everest, one of the big factors always is enrollment. If it's going down, at least the trouble because of the funding mechanism with the third Friday, I think it is, every fall, where they determine what your enrollment is, and then that's based on, then the state gives you X number of dollars. What are the big issues right now with DC Everest? How are things at DC Everest?
Yeah, so DC Everest is, you know, one of the things I'm very fortunate is we have an amazing team of faculty, staff, and also administration who their biggest priority is our students. So there's everything that we do, every decisions that we make, we try to ensure that it's focused around ensuring that what's best for our students, protecting them, ensuring that their education remain high, looking at ACT scores. And one of the things that are very valuable about this community in the DC Everest School District is that we do everything we can here to ensure that the education is top priority. They've invested in the school districts during the referendum that we did. The referendums are almost completed. We also have our new administration building that was also almost completed, and that costs nothing to our taxpayers. But most importantly, also, I'm very proud of the efforts, the community efforts into building the Green Heck Turner Community Center. That's going to be a state-of-the-art facility that I think members of the communities can definitely utilize. And it's not only going to bring be a state-of-the-art and a prized community asset, but it's also going to bring in room tax dollars. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring individuals from all across the state, the country, and it's just going to continue to help this community prosper.
Are there any issues that are concerning at this point that you're looking at that we're going to have to deal with in the near future?
I think some of the issues that we're going to have to look at is our financials. Obviously, with, as you mentioned, you know, with the declining in student enrollment, we have to get creative. We have to start looking at ways to be able to bring in revenue that would be able to offset some of those costs, being able to look at to ensuring that our budget is still prioritizing our students. So I think that's one of the bigger issues that we're going to be looking this year and probably next year as well,
too. Has enrollment gone down at Everest?
It has gone down a little bit. You know, it has declined, in the last couple of years here, but relatively we've been pretty steady, and we're one of the few school districts in the state here that actually are staying at a steady level.
When you talk about the new Green Heck facility, those are aspects that do bring families, too. I mean, ultimately, that's one of the issues. When I see something like that, you're going to keep families here because, as I've seen over, especially in the eastern part of the state, the building that we've seen in the Fox Valley at these schools, it's almost like an arms race at times. That's important in order to maintain and hopefully bring in more families, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And as I said here, it's going to become an asset to community. And what's really amazing, though, about this is that it's not going to cost the taxpayers mm-hmm. any dollars to build this building. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can here to raise the funding from our community. It's a community effort to build this building here. Because it's a community center.
Almost out of time. I guess to wrap it up, number one, thank you for coming by, and hopefully we'll get you back on again really soon. Is there anything I kind of missed that you feel like, hey, I'd like to let the folks know about something that's going on within one of these different areas that you're dealing with?
Sure. You know, one of the things I enjoy, you know, obviously along with my elected positions roles, and I speak on those as an individual, not on behalf of the boards or organizations that I represent. But I will say this, that, you know, as the executive director of the Hmong American Center, I'm very proud of the how far we've come. You know, we actually have taken on the operations of the From Lost to America Museum. So we're actually in charge of operating that museum. And that museum is the largest Southeast Asia, collection of Southeast Asian artifacts in the country here. Jim Harris always joke around that he can appraise other people's museums, but they can't appraise his because his is too large. And he's the founder of that museum. Well, we're hosting a fundraiser this weekend here to raise money for that museum to ensure that it continues to operate. And, you know, it's the E30 Gala, and it'll be housed at the Stony Creek Inn. And if any individuals are interested in making any contributions towards that great cause, they're welcome to contact the Hmong American Center, and we would definitely help them to make that effort.
Do you have a website at the Hmong American Center?
Yes, the Hmong American Center's website is hmongamericancenter.org, or you can contact us at 715-842-8390. Once again, 715-842-8390.
Yi Leng Zhang, again, I've been very happy to bring you on board here to talk to you. Again, great work in so many different areas. And again, thank you, and hopefully have you back on soon.
Thank you.
Again, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. It is almost 3:48. I am Chad Holmes, and this is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. On Tuesday night, the Marathon High School boys basketball team tips off their season against Auburndale. Hear the game live online at bowfallsradio.com and Sports 2 stream, starting with pregame show at 7 p.m. and opening tip-off at 7:15. You can also hear the game on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 on a tape delay basis following the Wausau West hockey game. Marathon High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Cloverbell Credit Union, Sun Printing, the Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, Fisher Transportation, Four Seasons Screen Printing, County Materials, Twin Forest Products, the Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, Marathon Family Dentistry, Marathon Park City, Mark's Chiropractic, and People's State Bank. It's Marathon versus Auburndale in high school boys basketball. Tuesday night, live on BowFallsRadio.com Sports Stream 2, starting at 7 p.m. and on tape delay following hockey on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, thanks to Yi Leng Zhang for joining us. So many hats. I don't know how he does it, I tell you. Some of the folks that we get a chance to talk to on this program, they do so many things for our community, serve in so many different ways. So again, thanks to Yi for joining us here on the program. Well, it is November the 29th, 2022. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Joel Cohen, a famous director, is 68. Howie Mandel, comedian, but he's become more famous in recent years on America's Got Talent. Howie is 67 years old today. Actor Tom Sizemore turned 61. Andrew McCarthy, also an actor, is 60. Don Cheadle, boy, he's had a long and very successful career, part of the Marvel movie franchise, but so many other things as well, 58 years old. Jonathan Knight of New Kids on the Block is 54. Actress Gina Lee Nolan of Baywatch fame is 51 years old today. Actor Brian Baumgartner from The Office is 50. Actress Anna Faris, she was the star of Mom on CBS for many years, 46 years old today. And also actress Lauren German from Chicago Fire is 44 years old today. And if you out there
celebrating your birthday today. Happy birthday to you from all of us here at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some famous events happened on this date in history. If you were like me when I was young, played plenty of Pong. It was 50 years ago today, on this date in 1972, that Atari announced the game Pong. It was simple, but doggone it, it was fun. On this date, 47 years ago, the name Microsoft for microcomputer software was first used in a letter from Bill Gates to Paul Allen. On this date in 2004, guess who received a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Godzilla! Godzilla got a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame on this date in 2004. Also on this date in 2017, 5 years ago, it doesn't seem like that long, Matt Lauer was fired from NBC's Today Show after an allegation of sexual misconduct. And on this date in 2020, President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris announced the first all-female communications team for the White House. Some special events being celebrated today. It is Giving Tuesday. I bet you many of you are getting some notes from some of your favorite organizations asking for a donation. It is Giving Tuesday. This one's interesting. I've not heard of this one previously. It is Customer is Wrong Day. Customer is Wrong Day. It's also Chocolates Day, Lemon Cream Pie Day, Square Dance Day, and Throw Out Your Leftovers Day. So some special events being celebrated here today. Didn't have a chance to really talk about it so far today. I'm going to think maybe spend a little bit of time tomorrow talking about it. But Tim Michaels made an appearance on conservative radio in Milwaukee earlier today. And he had some answers to maybe questions nobody was asking. It's funny to hear him say that he spent $12 million in primary for name recognition and then $8 million on the general. He said, could I have put more in? In hindsight, yeah. I'm not a bottomless pit. He spends a lot of money, so he's pretty close to a bottomless pit. And also, he says all these folks said he had it in the bag. I don't know what he was thinking because nobody was saying he had it in the bag. He says Donald Trump called him 5 days before the midterms, decided not to come to Wisconsin because the campaign looked strong. Michaels added that Tommy Thompson, Rance Priebus, and Paul Ryan all told him he was going to win. I'm guessing that Tommy Thompson, Rance Priebus, and Paul Ryan were trying to get him off the phone when he told him that. Because, again, could he be that dense to think that he was sure to win a couple of days before the election? There were no polls that said Tim Michaels was sure to win. He also blamed the Dobbs decision for his loss to Governor Evers. I think that was a factor. Obviously, it was a factor getting the Democratic base more excited. Regarding Rebecca Clayfish, because Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish, nasty little primary campaign. Michaels said she's photogenic, but, quote, I beat her. Yeah, classy. Classy as always. He has not spoken to her. And then he said, this is tough, man. It's raw when you lose. Oh, brother. And he says, Kevin Nicholson has a bright future in politics. He's a loser. Tim Rathman has an amazing group of loyal followers. He's crazy. So Tim Michaels popping up a few people will, I don't think, ever see win elective office. He also says, Republican organizations are antiquated. He says, we need to figure out how to reach out to the patriot groups. Yeah. All right. All right, Tim. All right. All right, we're going to, on that happy note, we're going to wrap up today. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Sean Wright from the Owosso Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, the executive director. He'll be joining us for his biweekly visit at 2:15. And we'll also be talking to Nancy Stensel about local Democratic politics as well, coming up at 3:15. So we'll have Nancy Stensel at 3:15 and Sean Wright at 2:15 tomorrow here on the program. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour, and then stick around from 4 until 6, Mike and Dom with the Devil's Advocates. Yep, Mike and Dom, Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6. And also, at this point, still on tonight, Wausau West Hockey taking on Wisconsin Rapids. 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening faceoff, and Marathon is taking on Auburndale. Big one in the Merriwood South and Boys Hoops. 7 o'clock online at BullFallsRadio.com and the Sports 2 stream, and also on tape delay following.
Halloween hockey. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and keep it right here on WXEO.